Welcome to In Moderation,
the show where we give you a moderate dose of info, sarcasm, and we already know we're not approved.
Well, welcome to In Moderation, episode 30. Thanks for joining us, Liam, after leaving us hanging for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know, because you guys have three kids and know how hard it is to put them to sleep. No, you don't. You don't, okay? It's
dogs,
not easy.
I have dogs, you know.
Listen, I've got four of those too, all right? I'm working with what I got here.
This episode, we have brought on, you know what? I'm gonna butcher your last name, aren't I?
No, no worries.
Brendan Rue.
Is that what it is? I never knew it was Rue.
You never knew it was Rue.
Yeah.
I thought it was Santa Cruz. Brendan Santa Cruz.
That's even better.
We'll just call you SC for short.
Okay.
That's perfect.
There we go.
Yeah, excited to be here, guys. I'm stoked that you guys started this podcast, and I've seen clips. I've seen some episodes. It's just great. I love it.
Yeah. And I'm excited because we generally bring people on who like pretty much just always agree with us on everything. And, you know, like that's cool.
Yeah.
But like that's also kind of boring. Right. So like
we don't want to have an echo chamber.
Exactly. We need to bring someone on who's on the other side of the proverbial grocery aisle, if you will. That's what we
I think, you know, we'll find. And as we've talked about before, that we align on a lot of
most things.
Yeah, before the episode started, Rob and I were talking about just like various outdoor activities that we like. And I was saying, like, I think one of the things that everybody is aligned on is the fact that this young generation is spending too much time indoors in front of a screen.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. There's so many things, both nutritionally and just life and activity wise, that I think we totally align on. But yeah, man, I love doing these things. Like, you know, a lot of people in the space that I'm in, for some reason, just won't talk with you guys. They just try to make enemies. I don't know what it is, you know?
And that's a lot of times Liam and I get asked both, do the people ever respond to us?
Yeah.
And what do we think about Santa Cruz?
Yeah, those are the two questions we really get asked.
We get asked those a lot, and they kind of go together because we have respect for Brendan because he is one of the people that actually has dialogue with us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of these other creators want to think that they know everything, right? And when they make a statement, they'll never want to go back on it because it hurts their brand. What I've learned about some of these folks, and I won't name any names, but they prioritize their brand over everything.
Right.
And I run my brand. My co-founder, Joe, doesn't care about social media. He doesn't care about it at all. He just
smart man.
Exactly. Fair? He's like completely off social media. Fair. It's so funny. I'll have to like text him little Instagram stories that I do to keep, if it's like a life update vibe, like, oh, Joe, check out this video. So I think one of the issues there is, when they have a lot of people in their ear and telling them, hey, you need to protect the brand and do this, I don't have that going on. I can come on and be like, hey, guys, I was wrong about this thing about artificial sweeteners. I was completely wrong. Misinterpreted a study, read something wrong, heard bad information. I was wrong, and I can change. And what I've really realized is people just want to feel better and feel healthy.
Right.
And I've started to change my content over the last year. I think everybody has seen it. Where I'm like, you know what? Some of the stuff that I was saying was too strict. Some of the stuff I was saying probably wouldn't serve certain groups of people. And that coupled with stories of people being like, hey, man, I was obese. Diet soda is my crutch. It's helped me lose 100 pounds.
Right.
How could I hate on that? That is a plus in every metric. It doesn't matter what that thing is. They could say, I punch myself in the chest every day, and that's the one thing that helped me lose 100 pounds. I mean, probably say not do that, but that's still you probably shouldn't say stop doing that. So yeah, I've definitely changed a lot of my opinions over the last year.
I think that's an interesting idea because of a lot of these people. Yeah, we don't really have to name any specific names, but they kind of put themselves up on this pedestal, right? And everyone kind of looks up to them. And then if they're wrong, it almost kind of feels like a hit to them. And that's I think you're right on that. People will also respond if you come out and say, hey, you know what? I thought this thing, but here's why I now believe this, and here's why I changed my mind. People will respect that. I think.
Yeah, totally. That builds a way more respectable brand.
Yeah, I think, you know, people that are intelligent will respect that. And I'm trying to build a community of intelligent people that want to dial in their health. And I think there's, you know, opinions on certain things that I've refined and sort of come to a conclusion of, like, I like having the discourse, you know, like with the whole raw milk thing. Like, wow, I was wrong about that. I thought it had more lactase in raw milk than there was. There's trace amounts. It's pretty negligible. Like, you're better off taking a lactase enzyme, digestive enzyme, you'll get 300 times the amount of lactase or something, you know? So it's like, with stuff like that, I feel like I realize, like, where I'm like, oh, okay, I was wrong on this. And then I just sort of try to refine my position where I do still buy raw milk. I genuinely do like it. I like the taste. I like it. I feel good. I haven't gotten ill from it. But what my kind of conclusion now is, you know what? They should probably require an ID 21 or up to buy this, and there should be a warning on it. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts about that? So what if raw milk, okay, what if it had big
jumping warning straight into the raw milk?
Yeah, jumping straight into the raw milk. Okay. What if it had a big warning on it and you had to be 21 or over to buy it? What do you think about that?
I think that would be a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah.
Like, in regards to raw milk and the benefits that we see in the literature that are possible, obviously with these studies, there's only a couple of them. And so we can't really say it's proven or disproven at any given point so far. And that's one thing I do notice, that with people arguing against you, they're not particularly accounting for the fact that these things are still possible. These benefits are still possible. They're not disproven yet.
It's hard. I think the people arguing against me make a really good point of, if you buy conventional pasteurized dairy, especially like low temp pasteurized that's available in many places, and then you also add in yogurt or a probiotic dairy product into your life, you will get all the benefits that raw milk theoretically would have, because there are some probiotics that are in there from you know, not getting heated. Where I was like, I do need to sort of like change my thing here, is because people going and buying raw milk from some random person in the parking lot of a Walmart because they they heard that it's going to enhance their health so much that it's worth it to do that. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. You know, like, I wouldn't drink raw milk from just some random person, you know.
God, no.
Cow. And when I went out to that raw farm thing, you know, and raw farm, I would definitely say, is very guilty of, you know, saying all these benefits of raw milk that haven't been proven. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Yeah.
But they do have an interesting process at their farm for keeping the cows clean. It's pretty – you guys would love to – see it. It's very interesting. I'm sure you'd love to see it, Rob. But with that, they're sort of acknowledging how quick things can go wrong with dairy.
And I think
I don't think I've seen just enough information on the possible benefits of raw milk. I haven't seen in the literature enough support to make it more readily available. But I'm also torn, because I also believe you should be able to do whatever you want. Like, if you're an adult, you kind of make your own decisions. So it's this tough thing. The main problem I have when I see it that makes me just like seize up inside is when they give it to kids, when they give it to children.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing for me. I'm just like, I don't like that at all. Every part of me hates that. Like, if you're an adult and you want to do something, I think here's the information you have, you make the right decision. If you want to smoke cigarettes, you can smoke cigarettes. I think it's a stupid ass idea, but you're an adult and you can choose to smoke cigarettes. It's just like children, like, I don't like it. That's my thought.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, sourcing can be an issue. I think if they required an ID and they had some warnings on it that this food can expose you to, you know, pathogens and bacteria, and it can be an issue, I would be interested in seeing something like that, or maybe, you know, a testing protocol that went into place along with that. One thing I think is very interesting, though, or like what I wouldn't want it to spiral into, is you guys both know that, like, sushi has killed many people. Sushi, oysters. Right. Lettuce, you know, stuff like that. Lettuce, obviously, those foods are something that you do not have to drink raw milk, and you do have to eat food of some sort. And if you take, like, sort of the main things that can get people ill in terms of, like, E. coli on lettuce, sushi obviously is up there, raw fish. it gets to this point where I'm like, well, damn, like, I realize raw milk can get people ill, but I don't think we should make it illegal or spend a bunch of tax dollars enforcing it. I think we should slap a big warning on it. Boom, 21 and over. Go for it.
With the lettuce thing, though, it's not like the thing with between raw milk, we have pasteurized milk and we have raw milk. It's not like we have pasteurized lettuce and regular lettuce that we can choose between well, the two of them.
It's funny you say that because like, do we have pasteurized lettuce? It's not pasteurized, but we do have ways that we like we wash our produce in order to reduce the risk.
Right.
And but so it's like a risk reduction.
It's always there, though, kind of with the risk when it comes to something like lettuce. So we don't really just have the two options. So like if there were two options, they were like, we're going to make this one version of lettuce illegal and we're only going to use this. I'd be like, I guess I get it. Like, I understand what you're doing. Yeah. But again, like, I also believe, you know, if you're an adult, do what you want. So like, I think, you know, alcohol, I think cigarettes, all these things, we're like, yeah, you can do those things. We know they're not good for your health, but we allow you to, we say you're an adult and you can choose to do them if you want to.
Yeah. The alcohol thing is really funny. I definitely always appreciate your guys' posts when a health influencer of some sort.
I got to bring this up. We got to transition to this because holy shit, Brendan, what the fuck is up with these health and wellness influencers that are like pointing out everything in the grocery store saying it's toxic and then promoting alcohol, giving promo codes for it, drinking it? Like what is going on?
Yeah, I know exactly what's going on because I have in my emails offers from these companies, so I know exactly what's going on, and I won't disclose details. No need.
Right,
it's a bag of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. Much? And you know, I think for a lot of people, they go, well, people drink a lot. And I think sometimes they get duped by these companies and saying, well, people are going to drink red wine. We test for these things and we, you know, mycotoxin test. So if they are going to drink red wine, this is a healthier version of red wine or whatever it is. But the problem is, you know, Ben Greenfield did an Instagram post where he's like, saying that he drinks red wine every single day, a little bit of red wine every day. There is no way, you know, we can have all our debates about seed oils and artificial sweeteners, stuff where we're like, you guys are like, oh, we think we know this about seed oils, artificial sweeteners. And I go, oh, I'm not sure if we know everything about them. We'll probably do that all day. Alcohol isn't one of these things.
Right.
It's been researched enough where we know that no alcohol is healthier for you than any alcohol.
Absolutely.
And we can get into the nuance. You know, yeah, there's interesting stuff with, you know, longevity. It's bullshit. When a wine company says there's resveratrol in their wine and that's why you should drink wine, you could just take a resveratrol supplement or you can eat, you know, berries and get a lot of the, you know, polyphenols. So
and
it's frustrating.
In regards to the people that think it's healthy to drink one glass of red wine a day, we've actually seen that the association there is actually that they have good self-control and they're able to exercise that in other aspects of their life. And so they're just having a healthier lifestyle. It's not the wine. It's their ability to exert self-control.
The income thing.
Yep.
That too.
Red wine every single evening.
Access to healthcare.
Have higher income because that's just the way the world works. And like you could do the same study of saying, let's survey people that make over 100K a year and you'd probably find the same.
I bet you people who eat caviar are also healthier.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Like anything that's expensive. So
it's frustrating to see when I see a health influencer that I like endorsing wine. It's a bit frustrating. And you know, I would never do it. I would never endorse an alcohol. I just think it's dumb. And a lot of the audience that I have, especially as young, I don't drink. So like I would never endorse something that I just don't.
Yeah, I very rarely drink. Like I'm one of those people that like if you want to have one of those want to drink a beer or something with your buddies, whatever. Yeah, but if you're drinking every day or you're going out and getting plastered every weekend.
It's the binge drinking. Oh, like if you look at binge drinking, it destroys. It's so terrible.
Yeah.
Like
I can't imagine like when I was younger, you know, like 18, 19, you know, I drank and I literally can't imagine it now. Like I went out to dinner with my girlfriend last night and like she doesn't drink, I don't drink, and we were just joking like What, like, how do people do it? Like,
listen. I bartended for years. I bartended for years. You know. Let me tell you, holy shit, what alcohol does to people. They've completely changed. Like, you know, one drink, two drink. Okay. Once you start getting into the binge drinking, it's fucking no holds bar. I've seen fights. I've seen people throwing anything and everything. Blood. I've seen more blood as a bartender than I have in healthcare. Like, and I'm not joking about that. Like, it's insane. Especially younger people too, you know, get them in on that. So like, if you are like, I enjoy like a glass of wine here and there. Absolutely. But I'm not pretending like, oh, this is good for me. Like, no, I just enjoy it and I'm willing, you know, I'm just going.
Yeah. No, so it's like, I don't understand why the health influencers, if they really wanted to endorse wine, I mean, it's probably the companies that won't allow them to say this in like the read, but they could be like, hey guys, this is the worst possible thing like that you can put into your body. But I do like this brand. It tastes good, you know, but like, this isn't good for your health at all.
The company would probably be a little
mad. They wouldn't like that read. They wouldn't like that read. Yeah. So,
we like the resveratrol better. Go back to that.
Exactly.
That's been one of my things when a company approaches me wanting to sell their stuff. And I'm like, I will do it if you let me be 100% honest about what I am saying.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't like that.
They do not like that.
Yeah. But yeah, the alcohol thing is just one of those examples of, health influencers gone wrong. If they're saying alcohol is healthy, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen everything. Recently, it's been tequila is the healthiest. Have you heard that from a few different influencers? They're like, it's because, you know, alcohol actually, it's not actually the alcohol. It's a long story. But basically, they go and they say like, oh, if you're going to drink tequila. And now I feel like we just kind of shift it to whatever else. Like it's wine and it's tequila. And then whatever company wants to pay me, then next time, maybe it'll be vodka. Who knows? Yeah,
exactly. My favorite are the tequila people, because they're also the people that tell you not to have GMO corn. Well, what do you think the tequila is made from?
That's so good.
GMO
That's
corn.
So good. So, basically, if you're an adult, like, do what's good. Listen, okay, so I got to transition to something else. I feel like you would know more about
full
this.
Circle come back to raw milk by the end, because I do have more to say that. But
we can. Yeah. But I need to know something else, and I need to know, and I feel like, Brendan, you'll know more than anybody else. Because you talk about our ancestors, and you spent some time studying it. Did our ancestors not have plates or cutlery? Because every fucking video I get tagged in, it's always like, I eat like a human who's a human, and I don't eat poison. And it's always on fucking cutting boards. Single video, it's always the cutting board. And like, the food looks fine. It's like meat and fruit and avocados and eggs. I'm like, that's all great. But did our ancestors not have plates? Did they not?
Also, did our ancestors not have spices?
Did they not?
The spices thing. I I've never rocked with the Saladino train on that. I mean, we sell Santa Cruz Paleo. We sell seasoning. We have blend one and blend two basic seasoning. I've never understood that part of the no seasoning. The cutting board thing. Okay, here's what's happening with the cutting board. It is convenient. It's convenient. So you get the cutting board, you cook your meat, you put it on the cutting board. You slice up your fruit, avocado, whatever, fermented veggies, whatever people are having on those. You eat it up, and then you have one dish to wash. Maybe that's it.
Is that all it is?
And let's be real. It looks cooler on the cutting board.
Listen, from an aesthetics point of view, you're like, you put something on a cutting board, it probably looks better than a plate you got at Marshall's. Like, you know, it looks cool.
But maybe I should hit up some archaeologist buddies from UC Santa Cruz, figure out like if they have any like first plates, and maybe I'll do that. I'll flex on everybody in the animal-based community being like, I just bought a plate from, you know,
I want that.
There you go.
I want to see, like, this plate was used thousands of years ago.
Take us in that when you make that.
I'm sure they made a spoon. I'm sure there's been a spoon at some point made.
No, and that's the most primal thing you can do. Like, I haven't washed it. It has all the bacteria from, you know, years ago. It's good to go. That would be hilarious. But yeah, the seasoning thing, and like, I mean, honestly, with Saladino on the plant defense chemicals thing, I've definitely tried to encourage, you know, I've always had vegetables in my diet, never taken them out. What I think is interesting, so I just interviewed a girl named Muna recently, and she had severe cystic acne. She was really dealing with some skin issues, and I've heard this story so often. She went carnivore short term, helped her skin a lot. Then she went animal based. Her skin completely cleared. I've heard this story so much. I think you guys should really think about this. I think what's going on with a lot of these people is they're getting frustrated with the normal Western medical system, because they'll go to a derm, and there are dermatologists who are dialed in with this stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't right. not go to a derm because you just think they're all bad. There's some amazing ones, and a lot are amazing and know about diet and gut skin access, all this. But for many people, they go to a dermatologist. I went to one when I was 18, and they told me, hey, diet has little to nothing to do with acne. I was dealing with acne and eczema at the time. And then they see, oh, this elimination style diet, maybe animal based, maybe carnivore, which I'm not a fan of long term. Definitely not.
Right. Yep.
They do that for a bit, and a problem they've been dealing with for a very long time that hasn't gone away, and they're being told the only option is, you know, Accutane or whatever it is, or steroid right. creams, goes away. And so it leaves many of those people very frustrated at the system, right?
Right.
I'm trying to unwind some of that with being like, if you have some autoimmune condition or some gut condition, which we don't know everything about the gut. We're
learning know very little.
About, we know nothing about it. And then you fix, like, the goal should be to add foods back in.
Yes, right? Exactly. Absolutely.
That's where we're all on the same page.
Yes. For sure.
And like, that's why I've really tried to lately be like, you know, I eat all of the food groups. I don't eat a lot of wheat. I'm not eating a lot of soy and corn, but I won't, you know, not dip my sushi.
Do you not get any corn at Chipotle? This corn is so good at the Chipotle, though. It mixes so well.
I mean, dude, I have tacos. When I go to Mexico, I go off on tacos. That's my treat. I mean, my fiance is Mexican, so there's definitely some corn. But
mostly yeah, tequila. People,
yeah. That's yeah. What would you guys say about that, though? So, like, That's something I've been encountering a lot. People going, oh, you know, I fixed this issue. My eczema's gone. This is the way forward. Fuck the medical system because they told me this. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I do agree that there needs to be more training towards that in the medical system. Absolutely. Because absolutely somebody can have sensitivities to thing, allergies to thing that the doctor might not think of. Mm-hmm. And whenever somebody asks me about the carnivore diet, I tell them it's an elimination diet. Mm-hmm. By all means, if you are having problems with food and you think that it may be related to food, if you know, medication's not helping you, whatever, by all means, you can try it. Mm-hmm. You maybe see your symptoms clear up. But as you said, the goal is to gradually put things back in, figure out what it is that was causing the problem and eliminate just that.
Because we know there are foods that cause, look at the low FODMAP diet, where you're like, oh, you cut down on the onions, the garlic, you know, whatever. Like, so we know for definitely people of IBS or Crohn's or whatever, some of these autoimmune diseases, we know they cause problems. So yes, I literally just filmed a video on the carnivore diet because I get asked all the time. Like, I think it's great as an elimination diet. You go only meat for however long, and preferably under the guidance of a registered dietitian or someone at least who knows kind of what they're doing. Then you slowly add foods back in, like one at a time, two, whatever. You don't want to just change it overnight. And if you find the thing, you want to find the thing that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, and you know, for like, if somebody wants to stay on carnivore the rest of their life, I say, yeah, like, again, you're adult, you use whatever, but I just don't,
I definitely don't think it's a good idea. People ask me all the time, what do you think about the carnivore diet? I'm like, you're doing it short term to figure out what is going on with your body, or just, you know, give yourself a reset, go for it. But I think one thing we would definitely both agree on is the importance of fiber. And
yes,
and yeah,
that is, that's actually one of my main beefs with the animal, my grass fed.
Wait, my main beef with fiber.
Animal based diet, it is sort of hard to get fiber in for people. And my diet is very similar to animal based, but I eat potatoes. I eat some grains, you know, I say properly prepared grains. They do well with my gut. And I eat vegetables. I do think there is, you know, the whole plant defense chemical thing, I think why it has legs and why people are really like curious about it is because there are people that are starting to do raw spinach, raw kale. And I think we would all agree that you can get issues from that. If you're
too much of anything, again, we always say is a problem, of course.
Yeah.
But I think like eliminating a lot of those fiber rich foods also from an anthropological point of view doesn't really make sense. If you want to think about that, because we're omnivores, like we can eat tons of stuff. We can.
That's what really separates. Is like, Craig, you know more about our ancestors than anybody else. But like, isn't that what makes humans kind of special in a ways? We can go anywhere in the world and survive because there's so many different foods we can eat. Other animals, they go somewhere, they're dead because there's just their food supply's gone. That's it. Like we can really do anything.
And there's fascinating tribes all around the world who have survived off, you know, tapping an animal and drinking its blood.
Like the Inuit, you know,
survived off eating no meat whatsoever. I mean, and done well. Like human beings can do well on so many different things. You can eat all the foods I hate and do well. You know, like you can thrive. And we see it all the time. So I think that's really important for people to know. And you know, I mean, overall, like with social media, like, of course, you know, I came out hard doing the grocery store videos. And because of discourse with folks like you, I'm like, you know what? That's not the thing. My overall goal, like truly deep down, I think people that know me really do see this. I truly want people to feel their best and get healthy deep down. So what I was doing before wasn't truly aligning with a lot of my goals. Some videos I did were too strict, you know, or telling people like, oh, seed oil's this, seed oil's that. For the average kid living somewhere in America, they're not going to be able to avoid seed oils at all. And I just want people to feel healthy. So I've definitely changed up my content with a lot of that stuff lately.
Here's what I saw.
I still don't like seed oils.
Yes, we're well aware of that. Here's what, from when I, like, when I, so anybody doesn't know, like, the first, when I started making videos, I made some videos about Brendan. It was, like, the first videos that actually took off, and people were like, make more videos, and I was like, well, it's fucking, that's what people want, it's the algorithm, that's what I'm gonna do, and then I got a little back and forth, and anybody who knows social media, when you get into that, it just gets more, you know, views for both people, like, it works out, like, it's a thing. But what I saw was like, okay, this guy seems to be talking to the people who already have a lot of things, as you would say, like dialed in, right? You're already getting enough sleep. They're already getting enough exercise. They're already doing all of these things. And he's saying, okay, if you want to take it to the next level and limit your risk on disease for, you know, as much as possible, maybe here's avoid these plastic products because of microplastics. Do we know for certain microplastics are causing issues? Maybe not, but there's a potential for it. It is possible. So if you want to limit that risk, here, do these things. Whereas like for me, so like you're trying to take people from like they're 95% of the way and let's get them 100% of the way there. And like that 5% is like, can be, it's a lot of work just to do that last 5%. I'm like, listen, I want to take people who don't know what the fuck they're doing. So I want to take people who are like, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm 20% of the way there. How do I get 60% of the way there? I'm like, listen, honestly, getting from 20 to 60 is pretty easy. Like you do these few things. It's not that hard.
I think one of the best things your guys' community has done, and a lot of just the fitness community in general, is the education about calories in, calories out. And a thing that also frustrates me that some health influencers still say to this day is that calories in, calories out doesn't matter. It's extremely frustrating. And I've made videos being like, you can eat McDonald's every single day and all, you know, seed oils, whatever. And if you are in a calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah.
Knowing that is so important because obviously obesity and just being overweight is one of the worst things you can do for your health. And I've seen, unfortunately, a lot of people in the community that I'm in say that that's not a thing. I don't know why, because it's been proven so many times. You know, there's the professor that ate Twinkies and lost weight. And I think what it gets to is it frustrates some people in the health and wellness world because they go, no, I'm telling people to eat this way and they're eating a lot of food and they're losing weight and life is way easier for them because, as I think you guys would agree, if you do it, you know, slightly higher protein and get your micronutrients and dial it in, you'll feel better. But it doesn't really matter because the statement of if you're in a calorie deficit, you will lose weight, and if you're in a calorie surplus, you will gain weight is a fact. I think what the health and wellness community that disagrees with that needs to do is everybody needs to acknowledge that fact. Obviously, there's little nuances with it, but like overall, that is a fact.
Yeah, that's the big picture.
And then we can go from there and say, oh, well, this study shows that people who ate a slightly higher protein diet found it way easier to adhere to a calorie deficit or whatever it is, or added in some, you know, foods that are more, you know, bulk centered.
Do you see that a lot from like the animal-based community talking about calories in, calories out not mattering? Is that, do you see it from them, or like, I was just wasn't sure.
Yeah. So I've seen, you know, there's a lot of posts being like, that'll just kind of hate on people that just talk about calories, right? So people will be like, you know, calories matter, calories matter. People will post like memes and stuff that calories don't matter. Or, you know, a calorie is not a calorie, which I totally get what they're saying there.
Yes, we know what you're saying, right. but an inch is an inch, a mile is a mile.
Weight loss, it sort of is, you know, like right. it really is. Like
the calories from an apple and the calories from a Twinkie, you know, those two foods will affect you differently. But the calories from them, a meter is still a meter. A calorie is still a calorie. Like it's just a unit of measurement.
And then like it's like from there we can go into, well, if you eat a really good diet, your immune system might be better, for example. You're going to get sick less. And guess what? That's going to make it easy to do. Go on more walks, get more exercise, and you're going to be able to create a calorie deficit easier. If you eat 90 grams of processed sugar in the evening and you have trouble sleeping, well, that might affect your workout the next day. You're going to burn less calories. You know, like, yes, all that stuff matters. But yeah, that's one thing I've seen on the health influencer side of things. That, frustrates me for sure.
I think it's because when you promote like a diet and you have like this deep connection to it, you kind of have to make it sort of special, maybe in a way, make it different so that people are like, oh, if you come over here, this is all that matters. You do this, you don't have to worry about anything else. And it's like, well, yeah, if you cut out most foods and you only focus on nutrient dense foods, there's a good chance you'll lose weight because you'll probably be pretty full from all the fiber, protein, whatever. So, yeah.
Not to mention giving people something to blame, like in regards with seed oils. There's a lot of those influencers that show that, well, the introduction of seed oils at this point in time suddenly caused our weight gain. And so seed oils themselves are bad. And by all means, seed oils add a lot of extra calories to food. Yeah. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of those associations with seed oils, well, you look at the introduction of when television became affordable for most families. Right there. That's when one of the spikes for obesity went up. Yep. When personal computers became affordable for families, there's another spike.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Like those overall, like, oh, like associating that spike. And I mean, I would say, you know, I think a lot of the red meat, large meta-analysis are guilty of that as well. You know,
I know you've talked about this before, basically where people, you know, we see these associations between red meat with something like, say, colon cancer. And it's also, but you also have to look at it like the diet soda. People who drink diet soda tend to be over, you know, tend to have excess body fat because they're not trying to add calories. So having excess body fat increases your risk for various heart conditions and stuff. So they try and blame the diet soda. So there definitely is that possibility with red meat. Hey, are the people who are eating red meat, are they exercising less? Where are they getting the red meat from? Is it what, you know, depends the source, of course. You know, there's a lot of other factors. So for me,
especially when it, you know, compares, you know, a vegan group to a red meat group. I mean, in today's world, the vegan group is oftentimes they're not smoking cigarettes. They are not drinking alcohol.
They're exercising more. They're
so I think it's interesting, but I think, you know, for me, it's like if I'm going to talk about that and shit on some meta-analysis of red meat causing colon cancer, well, then I cannot shit on a meta-analysis. Or if a study comes out showing how bad artificial sweeteners are and it's just a meta-analysis going,
and
oh,
some people are guilty of that.
Soda. Well, I can't have it both ways. And the seed oils thing, you know, I try to make content where I'll occasionally eat seed oils because I don't want people to feel bad about eating seed oils.
That's such a huge thing is a lot of those other influencers are making people feel bad because
I'm guilty of it a lot. I've definitely been guilty about it for sure. And I think what I've tried to do lately is I have a video of me going to In-N-Out, I have a video of me going to Chipotle, eating out at certain restaurants and showing guys, like I just did one with an influencer in Los Gatos near here. And like, I was like, guys, I'm not going to order my food seed oil free or tell them I have some allergy. Like,
oh, the allergy cards are so stupid.
Yeah, so annoying. And like anybody who's worked in a restaurant, it's like, no, like it's annoying. It's insane. And so, yeah, I think that's interesting. And then I've also just been trying to highlight some of the actual research on seed oils out there. And it's like, yeah, they do lower cholesterol. That might be beneficial for some people. But then there's like this, there's a researcher in Japan I think you guys would find interesting. He's a neurosurgeon, neuroscientist. He gives talks on this stuff. And his statement is basically he's worried that heating up seed oils, heating up canola, soybean, so when they're exposed to high heats, he thinks leads to contribute to Alzheimer's disease. Interesting stuff. Like, I don't think we know.
Like health, quote unquote health. Would he say the same thing about like olive oil and stuff? Or is he just saying it's just these seed
oils? If I recall, the study also found it in olive oil as well.
Yeah, it's more. And yeah. Yeah. I think it was like linoleic acid content when heated up. It's he has some interesting stuff on it. I would love Rob to dive into it because
briefly talked about it in comments at one point, and I did look at the study.
And it's important for me to acknowledge, like, a lot of that stuff is over my head. Like that one of his papers he has there is extremely complex. Like, I don't know, and I also think, you know, Saladino doesn't know, and you know, like, Gary Brecka doesn't know, and I think you guys don't know for sure, but you and I will all say, like, we don't fully know.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, just from a personal thing, like, if I eat a bunch of seed oils personally, I don't feel good. That's just something I've noticed, but it could be with the food that I'm eating.
It just seems like, because where do you get seed oils from? Like, where do most people get it from? You know, it's just these ultra processed foods that, like, if I eat mostly that stuff, I feel like shit.
And with that study that we're just talking about, the main conclusion to that study was don't eat a lot of fast food. And we can all agree with that.
Yeah, and like at home, people aren't. I do think there's definitely a difference, like, of a cold-pressed canola oil, you know, kept in somebody's house versus how most people are getting exposed to seed oils is, you know, soybean or canola oil that's being reheated over and over again in a fire basket.
I've looked into the fry. It's interesting. So, because there's a lot, you know, restaurants, they're supposed to change their oils, but a lot of restaurants, you know, they're trying to save money. They're trying to spend so much. So, you know, they'll use it over and over again. And I do see some negative effects with once you use it 5, 6, 7, like all the, you know, use it over and over. There are some negative consequences from that.
I think we can all agree we love olive oil. I think that's pretty easy.
I use olive oil.
If you're cooking salmon and you're not using olive oil, it's a crime.
But listen, I have the spray, not like, you know, whatever, Pam, because I'm paying for name brand. Who the fuck? I'm not paying for name brand. I get the little, like, Kroger canola oil spray. I'm like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Oh, it's got butane. People are like, oh, it's going to be in your food. Butane's a gas, people. Like, goes away. Don't. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Just spray it, cook it, whatever. But yeah, I love olive oil. I use it.
And do you guys eat like red meat and butter, like –
I use butter. Butter on like sourdough bread with like a little bit of salt. Like, man, that's
just something. Just like how you're not afraid to occasionally have seed oils. We're not afraid to occasionally have red meat
people
and
ask
butter.
About red meat a lot, and I'm always like, listen, I'm much less concerned with like, oh, how much red meat is too much red meat. I'm like, make sure you're doing the other things. Make sure you're trying to get fruits and vegetables and eat these other things. If you're eating so much red meat that it's pushing those things out of your diet, that's when I'm concerned, because I want to make sure you're getting the other things. Less about like, make sure you get less than this specific amount, you know.
I totally agree with that. One thing I've been saying a lot, and luckily I run the company Santa Cruz Paleo the way I do, where it's just me. I mean, Joe doesn't care. I have said so many times, don't buy supplements. You shouldn't buy supplements until you have your sleep, your workouts, your nutrition dialed in, and then you can look towards some supplements. If I could package up a good night of sleep into a supplement, I would be a billionaire. If I could package up a week of good eating into a supplement, oh my, like these things that people are going towards without looking at the other aspects of their life is just, it's stupid.
Because that's where people start a lot, is supplements. People start a health journey and they're like, okay, what supplement should I take? And we're like, we'll get there next year. Okay.
Yeah. Have you walked today? You know, like what's going on?
When's the last time you ate a vegetable? A couple weeks ago, I think it was on my burger. This little piece of lettuce. Like,
land defense chemicals, man. You got to watch out. I've been making a lot of Saladino jokes in my things. I don't know if you, anytime I have a lettuce or carrots or anything, I'm like, Saladino fans, I'm sorry. Turn it off.
We could do that with meat. We could be like, oh, meat has heterocyclic amines and you shouldn't eat it. And you can pick apart any food. It doesn't matter. So when you're like, oh, phytic acid in oats, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, it's oats. Shut up.
The term plant defense chemical is such a big pet peeve for me, because for the plants, they're not defense chemicals. Like phytic acid is where seeds store phosphorus for germination. It's a life-giving chemical for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the plant defense chemical thing is just, I don't know. It's gotten too much. I don't really know why he's stuck with it, honestly, like for his brand. I mean, I think, you know, if you listen to Saladino debate Dr. Allo when they had the debate about heart disease, cholesterol, it's like Paul is very smart. Like if you listen to that debate, I think anybody listens to it would be like, damn, like he makes some really good points here. And he's obviously, he's, you know, gone deep into the research. But
do you think he's just connected to the plant defense? Like, he started off with that and he's sort of been tied to it. Now he has to stick to it. As you think, like, that's part of it?
I think that's definitely part of it. I think legit Paul has like an extremely sensitive gut. Like, I'm not joking. He just did a post like on his podcast. He said he like tried to reintegrate white rice and like,
I saw that. Yeah. Off.
And I think that's a big part of it. Because I think he's, you know, sort of like being like, you know, okay, I'm trying to reintegrate this food. It's not working with me. So what in this food can be an issue? And he highlights some stuff that, you know, can be real, you know, if it's consumed in like crazy high dosages, like if you're cranking a bunch of raw kale, you know, you can have oxalate issues. Sure. So he's like, well, when I eat kale, I don't feel good. So what in this kale could be causing that? Oxalates, plant defense chemicals. The problem is, for most people, adding in some cooked kale, where you really reduce the oxalates if you're cooking it in butter or whatever, is just going to be, you know, a good source of vitamin A for them, good source of, you know, vitamin K, some fiber, you know, whatever. And that's what it's going to be. So I don't know, man. I definitely have some disagreements with Paul. Just overall, plant defense chemical thing is a big one.
Yeah. And in regards to Paul trying out rice and some of these other things, another reason why you shouldn't be going carnivore for an extended period of time is because the gut does adapt to that. And then when you try to reintroduce other foods, it's going to have trouble with that. That's why the Inuit can survive off of all of these seal blubber and all that stuff. Whereas you, if you went and did that, you would have so much trouble because you are not adapted to that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think like that's, you know, obviously like coming from like an anthropological background, like everybody's different. And I think people who function like better off having, you know, more plants. And
I think a lot of it comes down to fiber content as well. Cause like you just said, you know, we can all at least here agree that fiber is beneficial, but boy, howdy, I'll fucking tell you. I talk to people and they're like, when I eat fiber, you know, I feel worse. I'm like, well, how much fiber are you eating right now on average? Like nearly none. And then when they do eat fiber, they go ham with it. They're adding all these beans and everything like that. And then you see people like Paul saying like, oh, plant defense chemicals. I'm like, or was it the fact that you just had a ton of fiber that your body's not used to? And that totally messed you up. Like that's, you know,
there was a very recent study came out just last month. How people, particularly in cities, are actually losing the organization in their gut that's responsible for breaking down cellulose.
Really?
Yes.
Just adapting over time.
Yeah, because people are removing fiber from their diet. Mm-hmm. And so over time, we're seeing less and less of that organism in their gut. Particularly in big cities where lots of people end up doing a lot of fast food.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. One of the supplements we're working on is making a digestive enzyme. And so I'm diving into all things digestive enzymes right now and looking into that. It's pretty interesting. You know, like alcohol will like deplete digestive enzymes and stress can like deplete digestive enzymes. It's pretty interesting. And then you have all these different enzymes. Some help digest protein, some help digest, you know, and like, for most people, it's just not an issue, but
that's the thing. A lot of people ask me about them. I'm like, it seems to help. Some people tell me like this is what saved me. This thing, and for most people are like, no, this did nothing. So it's just like I can't.
Yeah, and it depends on how much of that enzyme the person is naturally producing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's really interesting. Another thing I think we do agree on is sort of the demonization of salt. Lately, I don't think you guys are too anti-salt. Now,
that's an interesting.
I think it's interesting. Obviously, like we make these salt-based electrolytes; they're one of our best sellers. People love them.
Yeah, I'd like to try it at some point. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's sodium, potassium, and magnesium. I mean, and again, with my new content style, whatever you guys want to call it, like if you look at my last post on Santa Cruz Medicinals about this, I purposely start the post off with a lot of people are deficient in potassium. Here are the foods you can eat. Avocados, potatoes, you know, real dairy that can give you great amounts of potassium. And then I go into, you can also supplement with an electrolyte. So I'm trying to do more of that.
Right.
But what do you guys think about salt? You know, like there's a great study on NFL players where they examined how much sodium they're losing in like a training session. And it varied from 2 grams all the way up to 30 grams in some of the players. Fascinating. It's a lot of salt. They're probably insane. Huge. They're probably 300-pound linemen, like sweating. Like, yeah,
you can actually, for anybody, I've done this before. You can get patches that you put like on your skin where you sweat a bunch, basically, and you go for a workout, you sweat, and then you can like scan it on your phone, whatever, and it'll show you kind of like how much sodium you sweat out because everybody's different.
I think that's what they were using. But so, what do you guys think about? What do you guys think about sodium at all? Like, do you monitor your sodium intake? Do you use
sea salt? I don't even monitor it. I'm not afraid to use it while I'm cooking. And it's actually kind of annoying. Like, if I do a video regarding soup, the first thing, the very first comments get are always it has so much sodium, and it's like 600 milligrams or something. And you're like, I mean, that it adds a significant portion to your diet, but that's not that much sodium.
Also, it depends so much on the individual. That's why that's the problem with these overarching recommendations. It's like you're talking about like an NFL player. Sure, they're going to be sweating a lot. And so they're going to need extra sodium. And can I say, it's always funny when you say like sodium, you're like, that sounds kind of scary. But when you call it, say, electrolytes, people are like, ooh, that's good. Like, you just kind of rebrand it. It sounds a lot better. Like, oh, give me some electrolytes. Oh, sodium, let me stay away. But no, I think it really depends. Because if you look at someone in their, you know, someone's in their 60s, 70s, they have heart failure. They're not very active. That type of person, they very well might need to monitor their sodium and keep it lower.
Absolutely,
But it just depends so much on the person. And so I think because there's a lot of people who are in these situations where they are dealing with heart issues or whatever, by just kind of telling everyone, hey, reduce your sodium. Yeah, we can do some good, but there are people that might need more. So it just depends so much on the person.
And then a lot of those people also, they might end up going and chugging electrolyte drinks, because like, as you said, electrolytes sounds nicer. It's like, oh, we need electrolytes, we're gonna chug these drinks. But this can of soup with sodium, can't have that.
That's so funny.
And like with the electrolytes, like obviously I love our electrolytes and stuff, but like I've been like, orange juice has electrolytes, coconut water has electrolytes, food has electrolytes. Like, you definitely don't need an electrolyte supplement. Now, on that side of things though, what was really interesting for me is to dive into Logan Paul's Prime. And
the amount of potassium.
is so you know why he did it? Like, when formulating these, it's like, potassium is sweet. You know, you get a little potassium.
It doesn't taste sodium, tastes salty.
And he has a famous thing where he's like, we didn't want this drink to be salty. We wanted it to be, you know, like taste good. And it's like electrolyte, I think we can all agree, electrolyte imbalance is really like a huge, like, that's what people are trying to avoid. And I find it astonishing that the most popular electrolyte beverage
is about branding.
900 milligrams of just potassium and not really.
He has an ad that's so good. I forget exactly how much electrolytes are in IV, liquid IV versus his, but he did theirs plus one. So he's like, they have this much electrolyte, like whatever, 100, whatever it is. And like, we have 100 plus, we have one more electrolyte than they have because we want to have more than them. I'm like, that sounds cool, I guess, to the person who knows nothing about this. But like, all these athletes that are promoting it, like, there's no way they're drinking this. There's no way they're drinking this potassium rich this electrolyte mix. It's so funny.
They're probably drinking LMNT or another salt-based electrolyte. Hopefully Santa Cruz Paleo. But
you're so right. The flavor, it just tastes like, oh, we don't want it to taste salty, so here you go. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. What are we doing? It's crazy. It's a funny thing to think about. Do you guys take magnesium or any supplements, like, or do you get everything from nutrition right now?
Primarily nutrition for me, because I love things like pumpkin seeds.
Oh, yeah.
And seeds and in general, I'm a big seed eater, so I typically get creatine. Plenty of magnesium.
The only creatine. And then in the winter, I don't get outside very much, so I'll take like a vitamin D.
Yeah.
I'll do that during like the winter because I'm just not getting a lot of sun, especially working nights. Fuck, if you work nights, like, I'm sorry, it sucks. It's terrible for you. That's another thing that's terrible for you. That's why I should make videos about how terrible
that is. They have the sleep. They have the sleep guy working nights, shouldn't they?
Oh, it's so bad for you. Get off it if you can. Anyway, but if you're not getting much sun, like vitamin D, 1,000 IUs, whatever, you know, like just something to make sure I'm getting enough.
But I hope blood work becomes more accessible for many people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's and like people.
I mean, I say that as a Canadian, but
yeah,
that's fair.
I hope it's more accessible for you guys.
In the land of the free, we hope we get it more available.
Like, dude, I can literally go to my doctor and be like, hey, I'd like some blood work. Okay, done.
Yeah. Dude, now I'm in a place where I can get a lot of that stuff done, but it is insane how expensive it is. It's insane. And like, I do think if doctors become more, I think, you know, they will become more aware of like, you know, just the benefits of just like a basic vitamin D test. Not saying they don't know, but it can be something sort of they push to the side or don't think is that important. But I think more and more doctors, I would say, are realizing how easy that is to get checked and how easy it is to fix. And it's just pretty well established in the medical community that having optimal vitamin D levels is a good thing.
I wish.
But yeah, could... I mean, yeah.
I literally have a lab requisition for blood work right here in my desk. Actually, I think I have two of them.
Yes, yep. Yes. Canada's amazing. Blah, 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 blah. I do hope we push more towards that and get away from, because this is another thing I think we all agree on, or at least I definitely, I know I do, greens powders. God, I get asked about those things so much. And it doesn't matter how many rants I've done where till I'm red in the face screaming about how I don't like them. People still ask me about like, oh, Bloom and this and that. And I'm just like, it's so overpriced for what it is.
So I have emails from some of the top greens powder producers out there. And usually you're looking at about $3 to $4 for like a thing.
Yeah.
And that's cheap. And like, why they are able to do what they do is they have tons of margin in that product. It's basic.
Right. Because they sell what, 30, 40 bucks, something like that, easily.
And, you know, I have emails from a company basically saying, yeah, we get like vegetable byproducts. Like they're not putting, you know, the broccoli. You're better off eating broccoli on the shelf because that's beautiful broccoli that made it to the shelf. You know, who knows? I would love to run a mycotoxin test on like some greens powders out there. I don't know what's going on with them. But I think for a lot of people, like they just, they just view it as like this drink get it, the way they market it is this drink gets you, it covers your bases is what Athletic Greens says. Yeah. Covers your bases. It gets you everything you need. And that is very, very appealing to people.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, shit, that's amazing marketing. Like that.
And then they put that behind a proprietary blend.
Proprietary blend. $100 for a bag of whatever was left over, basically.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then one of the other things I find interesting, I'm going to release an episode. I have a functional medicine doctor I talked to. He's an MD. He's a really smart guy. And one of the things he was talking about is certain probiotic species can actually be histamine producing and cause like reactions to people. So like he's like these products that dump in 40 probiotic strains because they want to tell people we have billions of, you know, bacteria.
Yeah, you want the number as high as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, well, that's not going to be good for a lot of people. And he's had many patients that go on kombucha and super greens and all this stuff. And they're having full blown histamine reactions. And that was what he was saying is one of the things that is causing that. And then he gets them towards, you know, eating Greek yogurt and fermented vegetables and that goes away. Yeah. So that's pretty fascinating.
I know. If you're on probiotics, there's kimchi, sauerkraut. I like tempeh. If you've ever seen it, it's like fermented soybeans.
And it's not worth going out of your way to get all something with 4 billion probiotics because the ones that survive in your gut are going to be relative to what your diet is. So if it's not something you're eating often, they're just going to die.
Yeah. And you know, another, like I've been doing some GI map tests of like my gut and you get to see so much information on there. You get to see your gut diversity, all this stuff and very, you know, niche thing because like it's an expensive test. But one thing I would find very interesting is I wonder what the gut diversity of these people who have been carnivore or very strict animal based for a while is because I can't like you need fiber to basically feed on that, you know,
right.
Give you the substrate. And like, if you're not eating foods like sweet potato, you know, I eat a lot of potatoes, carrots, you know, veggies, fruit, obviously. So I eat a good amount of those and like I have good gut diversity, but I wonder what it would be if I cut all those foods out.
And the fact that they say it's like fiber is non-essential. I hear that all the time. Like fiber is non-essential. You don't need it. I'm just like, of all the things, like, listen, I don't agree with like demonization of like Oreos and stuff, but I'm like, okay, listen, we're eating like 60-70% processed, ultra processed foods in America. We're eating too much of it. It's causing problems. I get it. But fiber, like I'm just dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating to me. And because there's also so many ways you can get fiber in. So like if we sat down to dinner, I might not eat a bunch of your whole grain bread, but there is hundreds of other foods that have fiber. Yeah. Like the fact that you can't find some foods that work well with your gut. Like I love sweet potatoes. Like they're so rich in so many nutrients. They taste absolutely delicious.
What was I eating last night, Rob? I put sweet potatoes. I like beans. And I like corn. Now I know you're not a super fan of those ones, but I love me some beans and corns. Put that right on sweet potato.
No, I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind beans. I made a chili recipe recently, threw a bunch of beans in there.
Did you? Oh,
nice.
Yeah. I think in that video, that video was actually a while ago because I was in Tahoe in the winter snowboarding. And we did a chili with my buddy, had some elk actually, that guy I was telling you about that was always hunting.
Interesting.
And so we did like a grass fed beef, elk, and then we did the elk and then we did the beans in there. But I was like, I shouted you out in the video, like just briefly. I'm like, shut up, Lance, you know, I'm eating beans.
Because they're like, you know, it's always affordability. And I'm like, I like what's cheap. And I grew up. Maybe not poor, but you know, not a lot. So
not
like,
well
a
off.
Lot of beans. Not well off. Not well off. So beans were a staple for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been trying to do more videos to show how to eat, you know, a good diet affordably. So I've been
seen
going
that.
To Costco
yeah,
more, Walmart yeah. more, which, you know, sometimes I'll get pushback on with my community to be like, that beef is not, you know, like yeah. telling people to eat this. I'm like, yes, regenerative grass-fed, grass-finished beef is what I would prefer, but that is not. You know, like when I was working at Papa John's, I did not eat the Papa John's at all. I was actually mad that I was inhaling the gluten because you have to make the pizzas and then go deliver it. It would piss me off because I was already into all this health stuff.
This cheese is not grass-fed. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, that job drove me crazy. Think about me. Like I was already just getting into this stuff and I would have to just show up at people's door, liters of soda, a pizza that I would never eat. It was, and then I actually became one of the first DoorDash drivers ever.
Really?
Yeah. So this was in Palo Alto. I'm leaving the Papa John's in Palo Alto to go deliver pizzas. And this dude approaches me and he goes, hey, I'm like, what does this guy want? Like, what am I about to get robbed? What's going on? And he goes, hey, my name is Stanley. I just founded a company, a startup called DoorDash. He's like, we're right across the street. They're operating out of a house. And he's like, I can make you more money than you make at Papa John's doing deliveries. I'm like, let's go. I don't care. You know, like, and I met with him like a couple days later and wow, that's I should have got paid in equity if I just said, give me 0.001% of this thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Messed up there. But yeah, that was a random sidebar.
That's great. I love there. It. Yeah. Perks of being in California, fucking venture capital, like, yeah, all these
exactly.
companies starting up.
Exactly. And then I wanted to ask you, and I'm like flipping the interview on you guys. I don't know why, but what do you guys like to do for exercise lately? I've seen Liam, you do obviously some stuff in the gym, but like what do you guys do there to stay active? You're both in great shape. What do you do?
You want to go first? We'll both go at the same time.
At the same time. Okay, let's just talk. Let's just. I do this and yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, so my gym, I'm lucky that my gym is 4 minutes away from me. It's like it's right down the road and nice. I'll generally, and it's open 24 hours for me, like working nights. I need something that's 24 hours because I'm there at like 1-2 in the morning, something like that. And then I do Muay Thai kickboxing. I'm telling cool. you, if you like martial arts, it's good exercise, but also just like for mental, just it helps for your mental health. I think it's great. It's a discipline. It's something. It's all those good words. I enjoy that a lot. And then everything else, but like I try and just stay more moving. I have my daughter, so you know, take her for just like walks. You know, mm-hmm. just go outside. I'll carry her around because listen, she is 6 months old and 24 mm-hmm. pounds. She yep. is the chubbiest baby ever. So, you know, I just try and move that. And even in like my gaming, like I'll get like a VR or something like that yep. gets me moving. You'd yeah. be surprised. I'm literally like in my boxers, just sweating, like just out of breath. I'm like, this is yeah. stupid.
All the fans in the house blowing at you.
I have live literally have
that,
big man.
That might, have to go on a different website, but you know, maybe
exactly. that's for the OnlyFans. Exactly. That's what coming at you when TikTok gets banned. And that's, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I just try. I mean, I tell people like, you know, whatever little thing it is that you find like sports, I love it, especially like in the summer. Beach volleyball is like my favorite yeah. sport. I absolutely love it. So you just kind of have to find what works for you.
Yep.
I got to play beach volleyball on a sandbar on the Rios Madre, the river that feeds the Amazon River.
Oh,
that was an experience.
Awesome. That's fun. Beach volleyball is the shit. For everyone out there, I'm telling you, try just like diving in the sand. Like I'll dive for stuff I know I'm not going to get because I'm like, I just like to dive in the sand. It's fun.
Like, I feel like I'm too short for beach volleyball. Like, I made a basketball video recently, and like people were roasting my jump shot.
Sure, you got some comments on that.
I was like, listen, guys, I'm 5'8". I quit basketball in high school, and it was probably a good decision, you know,
probably for the best.
But I still play basketball and beach volleyball for fun.
It's a sport. Yeah. You get exercise. You have fun. You connect with others, because I think that's something we leave out a lot in health. Is just having supportive community. Like, you look at like
blue zones. I'm sure we're all fan of the blue zones, and everyone debates what's going on there. Like, one thing they definitely have is community. Like,
100%.
You could all debate how many eggs and, you know, fish.
Why do we get to like these tiny nuances all the time when it's just like, come on, can we focus on the macro? Like, just, you know, having this positive community around you and just moving throughout the day, whatever it is. Like, those two things are so much bigger than are eggs healthy and how many. Like, I just, it's like, that's what I have to say about it.
For me, I get a couple workouts in every week. I work out with a client. So whenever he's available, we just hit the gym for an hour. Nothing fancy anymore. But I get a lot of exercise in because I'm a DIYer.
Yeah.
And so I will be doing a lot of building, and there's a lot of shelves and various stuff in here that I build myself. And as we were talking about before we started recording, I also have spent like a third of my life camping and not glamping, actual camping. And so, like, lots of chopping wood for fire. I love going out, on the water in a kayak, doing some fishing. And
I need to have one year to go ahead, finish, but I need to rant about something. Okay. It's been on my mind. I'm angry. So go ahead.
And then, of course, I also have to walk Pippin, because if you have a cat and you are not walking your cat, what are
then
you even doing?
Because they're crazy animals. Put them on. What, you put a leash on a cat? Oh,
like it's a huge pet peeve for me. People will just throw their cat out the door. Like, you get a dog,
literally a pet peeve.
Literally a pet peeve. You get a dog, and how you treat that dog? You're playing with it. You're taking it for walks. Yeah. You get a cat, and you like scratch it a couple times a day, and it just does its own
thing. That's why people get them, because they're independent.
People think they're independent. The reason they're independent is because everybody's ignoring them all day.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No. Whereas cats actually are fairly social, and you can train them to do the same things as dogs. I've got Pippin right here in front of me on a thing, just chilling while we're talking.
I am upset because at my work, okay, listen, they have in the basement, there's a gym. It was an old ratty gym. It still worked. It was fine. I went down there all the time before work, after work, whatever. It had the sheer basics. They just redid it and it's immaculate. It is like so nice. They have a goddamn small shuffleboard in there, like ping pong, all sorts of shit.
You showed me the picture and I was so jealous.
So, like, I'm telling you, they have one of those mirrors that you're supposed to like do whatever the mirror is doing. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just like that they have all these other equipment, and I went down there and I got in trouble for working out because apparently it wasn't open yet. I got emails about it. My manager's like, you can't go down there. Apparently there's legal issues and they can't open it yet. I'm like, okay. So what you're doing is you're not allowing people to work out because of some, like, I'm sure somebody's going to sue because of this or that or warranties or some bullshit. And I'm just like, dude, like, having a gym in like a workspace it doesn't cost the company that much. And you're saving on health insurance. They're working out, exercising. Yeah. Like, come on, like, just open the gym. So I'm angry. I'm mad at my gym. I closed it back
Man,
up.
I wonder how much money we would save in healthcare if we made like a big, like an actual big push. Like, people were like, you know, I think the last like person to really do it was Michelle Obama. Like, she really did push like healthy eating and like exercise like a bit, but not like that much. Like, I'm really wondering when somebody's going to step up and just be like, I'm astonished during COVID, like nothing. I mean, I know they couldn't really like push certain things. It must be a nightmare working in government. So I don't know what that's like, but like the fact that like nobody made a big push of like, oh, like at your house, like away from other people, like you can do like basic stuff, like just like movements and stuff. But like,
I put a pull-up bar in my basement. Like, I just like tied it to a beam. And now I have that, like, you know, just
one thing that really annoys me about some of the other wellness influencers and their crowd is always like, oh, they're doing it to make you healthy and blah, blah, blah. Not once do they ever tell you, go get some exercise.
Yeah, yeah. And then the exercise sometimes is just like machines attached to you and like this crazy shit. Like
$1,000 the hula hoop weight thing or the weighted jump rope.
I think, I think one of the things I've really tried to do is show all the activities that I do outside, like basic stuff. One thing I found fascinating, I didn't know this. I saw it off a Nutrition Narc video, and then I made a video off of his. Walking 1 mile and running 1 mile burn roughly the same amount of calories.
Just one's faster.
Yeah, because you're moving the same weight, the same distance.
I'm like, of course, running, you're going to have other cardiorespiratory benefits and, you know, probably, you know, but it's like a lot of people, like, just like the framework in somebody's mind, if you were to tell them, hey, if you ran an extra 10 miles per week, you'd be in way better shape. You drop some weight. They'd be like, of course, but I can't run 10 miles a week. That's insane. But if you tell them, hey, if you walk an extra 10 miles per week, you know, you're going to get a lot of those same benefits. Like, that seems like so approachable for people. Like, okay, like, but you know, I mean, this is the conundrum you guys are in actually, is you deal with a lot of this stuff where you're like, well, we don't know the answer. Oh, it's nuanced. Like, I guess I'm willing more to go out there and make like these like bold statements that go viral and stuff. But like,
right.
How boring is it that you can just tell people walk a bunch? It's just never going to go viral. You got to add something into it. Maybe I'll do that video, because I do walk in the morning with a tennis ball and I bounce it just to get my mind going, whatever. Maybe I'll do a video on that. Maybe that'll make walking
good. I find for me, like listening to like a podcast, like there's a few podcasts I like. I'm like, oh, I'm listening to them. While I'm listening, what am I going to do? Just sit here? Am I just going to sit here and listen to it? Like, why don't, like, if it's, as long as it's not freezing outside, it will go, whatever. Just like find something you enjoy. Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm working at my desk, I invested in the little treadmill that I'll and the standing desk. And I'll just do a light walk while I'm sitting here working, or standing here working, I guess. Not to mention, like, just I love going out to the mountains and just hiking. And that, all that is just walking. I mean, it's walking uphill a lot.
My goal now is to get you guys out to San Diego at some point. We're building a new podcast studio out there, and we're going to go surf and then do a podcast. It's going to be fun.
Nice.
It sounds terrible.
Likewise, I got to get you out to Alberta, and we are going to hit up those mountains.
We'll go moose hunting and you know,
again, going back to the red meat, I wouldn't be worried about having some moose, right? I have had moose, obviously.
And people ask me all the time, like, am I vegan? Am I plant-based? I'm like, no, I just, like, I don't eat a lot of meat. But, yeah, if I go somewhere and there's, like, a restaurant or some, like, gathering or whatever, I eat whatever. Yeah. But, like, that's just, for me, like, you have found, right, like, you know, Brendan, you're focusing on, you know, meat and, you know, various things like that. Yeah, you'd feel your best. I, like, eating lots of beans and, like, you know, oats and peanuts. Holy shit. Yep. Like, the amount of nuts I eat is stupid. Like, it's a dumb amount. And that's why, oh, man, when the influencers come after, like, peanuts for, like, aflatoxins and stuff, it drives me insane.
We used to have, one of our first products with Santa Cruz Paleo was a trail mix. And it was so amazing. Really? It was a trail mix with nuts roasted in coconut oil, of course, because most of them do have seed oils. And we put stevia sweetened chocolate chips in there, and the product was rocking. It was, and then summer came around, and those things started to melt like crazy. And Amazon started to hit us up and go, "Hey guys, you're shipping people just like bricks of his."
Oh,
it was horrible.
That sucks.
And so we put the product, and then to add the freezer packs into it, it makes them so expensive.
I bet.
You know, hey, I'll push some products that are higher end, expensive, but I'm not going to sell a trail mix for like $35. It's just not going to happen. Like,
that's,
I think it was $15 for like a 2 pound bag before. But you guys would have loved it.
Yeah. I've loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got some leftover in the back of the warehouse, bring it up.
It's just so delicious.
Throw it in a grinder. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
I gotta run. I'm going to get home. But anything else you guys want to cover?
Yes. I want to go back to the raw milk. Yeah, okay. I still have more to say on that. Talking about the benefits of that. That's a main point for people talking about raw milk, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the studies that have those benefits, if you want to, like, again, there's few studies, it's not proven, it's not disproven. If you want to believe that those benefits are there, or if maybe you've experienced them and you have your personal anecdote about them, those studies, they say that those benefits are also seen in boiled milk. And of course, boiled milk is higher temperature than pasteurization. Mm-hmm. And so there's one study that sums it up kind of nicely, that there may be benefit to having these lower temperature pasteurization, and that the benefit seems to be lost with higher temperature pasteurization. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to, again, if you believe in these, the evidence is there and that these benefits are a thing, then the optimal thing would be to have the pasteurized milk, not high temperature, but regular pasteurized or boiled, because mm-hmm. those still see the benefits, but they also remove the negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, you know, look, I mean, like with raw milk, like I can confidently say, like, you know, I definitely overstepped with my ideologies about raw milk. And like,
right.
I completely acknowledge, like, it can be dangerous, especially the ways that people are obtaining raw milk.
Yeah.
And then when you yeah. really look into the benefits, if you combine yogurt and pasteurized dairy, you're going to get all of the benefits of that dairy. So yeah. like, yeah, in my content now, like if I do happen to have the Raw Farms milk and I'm making a protein shake, what I write on my like Instagram stories and stuff, I just write like grass-fed dairy because I am a fan of grass-fed. It's better for the environment, whatever. But that's what I try to phrase it as. I'm using grass-fed dairy. And I do in a lot of my posts now, I drink the – there's a brand in California called Alexander's. I don't know if it's in other places in the United States, but they do that low-temp pasteurized dairy. And it's a, you know, they do have A2 dairy as well, which for some, right. It doesn't bother me if I have the A1 dairy, but, so yeah, like stuff like that, I think is the very reason why I'm on this podcast. It's like,
yeah.
And just in life, like you have to be willing to be like, hey, ooh, I fucked up there. Like it would for a 14-year-old to watch my Instagram story, if I was going, hey, yeah. get raw milk, it's really exactly. good. And then they try to go get it. Exactly. They get some bad source and they get violently ill. That is not with my goal of making people healthier. So
right.
yeah. Yeah. To your credit, like obviously the circle Liam and I are in, they're like vehemently against raw milk, right? Yeah, you've experienced that. But if it like if it wasn't for interacting with you and taking more looks at these studies and being like, okay, there maybe this low temperature pasteurization does have something going on. The possibilities there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, totally. So yeah, maybe like I still think, yes, obviously pasteurize your milk. But maybe if we went back from the high temperature back to a lower temperature pasteurization, there might be some benefit. Who knows? It's yeah, definitely something we should look into.
I think the raw milk thing really took off because, like, let's be real, like now, like a lot of these foods and a lot of these ideologies have become really political ever since
COVID. Yes.
And raw yeah. milk taps into this thing of food freedom, yeah. the government telling you, you know, not to get something.
Yeah.
And it's just such a nuanced topic because I'm like, I try to make content on this. Like, I am not somebody who thinks doctors and big pharma are out to get you. If you listen to somebody like Brigham Buehler on Joe Rogan, who dives deep into it, he explains it very well, where he talks about how basically why you usually can't go to a doctor and get tons of lab work done, because these doctors can get in trouble basically through the insurance of being like, wait, you ordered all these panels for somebody that is healthy. That is medical malpractice. They can get in trouble. He detailed it in depth. And his conclusion is, these doctors are not evil at all. There is a system getting built with medical insurance and all this stuff that will lead to some poor outcome sometimes. But I really am trying to get people away from the idea that there are people smoking cigars somewhere trying to poison us.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't work. We vote yeah. with our dollars.
Yeah. You guys need to finally 100%. Socialize your medicine.
Yeah.
That would be easy.
Yeah. So sure. like, yeah, no, I totally agree. And yeah, I'm totally always willing to step back from a position I had if I feel I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know why more people can't do that.
Yeah. And it was very prevalent with the lactase in milk.
Yeah.
When, you know, yeah. That's just, I can't believe that gets pushed so much still. Like if there's lactase in the milk, that's being created by E. coli. So if there's lactase in the milk, it's contaminated with E. coli.
Yeah.
I just, so, yeah. yeah. Well,
and then, I mean, like, and then obviously with the artificial sweeteners thing, I've definitely taken my foot off the pedal there. It's still not something I consume. I think it'll be yeah. interesting to see what happens with studies on colon cancer and gut microbiome and artificial sweeteners. But
yeah.
people use them oftentimes to help them lose weight.
Yeah.
I can't really hate on that. And if somebody DMs me saying, you know, and like somebody DMs me saying, oh, I'm drinking diet soda, do you think I should quit? It's like, I don't, it, like, is drinking water very easy for you? And like, it's so easy to quit diet soda. And like, you're not going to consume soda to fill that craving, like full sugar soda. Yeah. Then maybe try to quit diet soda. I might be have like a harder stance there. Right. But if that same person goes, no, actually the diet soda is helping me not drink full sugar Coca-Cola, you know, sure, I have more of a hard stance with things, discipline and stuff, right. But like, who am I to tell somebody else?
That's what Rob and I kind of appreciate about your channel. At least you can say like, hey, I don't like the, I don't personally consume this thing. I don't enjoy it. But, you know, if you do and these are your reasons, here you go. Like, that's all we want. Like, we don't want anything fucking crazy here. We just want you to be like, everybody's different. Hey, you kind of do your own thing. I personally don't like this. And here's why. That's totally fine.
And with the I don't entirely agree with a lot of the creators that say that you can have 12 to 50 cans of diet soda.
Sure.
Like, I definitely feel it's a lower than that. And I haven't sat down to look into it too much, but I'm positive that they are not converting. Like, these things are always in rats, right? And I'm positive they're not converting from rats to humans properly, because it's not a one-to-one ratio. You can't just be like, okay, it's 100 milligrams per kilogram in rats, 100 milligrams per kilogram in human. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that the numbers end up being a little inflated.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, Brandon. I'm going to go to the gym and then I'm going to game later because I do everything in moderation. Like the podcast you're listening to.
Hey, I was talking to Rob at the beginning of, I've made videos coming at people that go, you know, some creators in my field have been like, can't play video games and be successful. And I'm like, I've made a video back to my buddy Squid, who's like a young entrepreneur guy. And it was me sitting. I tried to throw on like a Rolex and like, you know, like jump in my a nice car. And I was like, I play video games pretty much every day. I play a game of Madden or a game of FIFA. Like,
do you have Baldur's Gate?
I don't have Baldur's Gate.
Oh, you could have joined us. We live stream Baldur's Gate.
We've been playing that.
I'm not into some of those, some of the video games. My co-founder Joe probably knows what Baldur's Gate is. But
fair enough.
Like, I think, you know, what we're all saying here is like, be you is the most important thing. Yeah. Have community.
Yep.
Exercise.
Find some movement you enjoy.
Yeah, like just like put in some work on your life. Like, a lot of people know what they need to do. You know, they know what they need to do.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot on this podcast.
Walk your cat.
You already know. We're just here to encourage you. That's what this podcast is all about. Get out there and actually do the thing you already know.
I thought this podcast
was
about teaching people how to grift.
I thought it was about teaching people not to be the worst. Where are we at? What's going on? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
I asked Brendan the cutting board question. That was the most important thing. So we got an answer on
there
that.
We go.
I feel
okay.
Much better.
Well, before you leave us, Brendan, where can everybody find you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they can find me at Santa Cruz Medicinals on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And if they want to try out any supplements, it's Santa Cruz Paleo on Amazon. We're going to get our stuff in Amazon Canada soon, working on that.
Canada.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think your audience would like some of the basics we sell there: vitamin D, creatine, protein, all that type of stuff. And yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I think this stuff is important. More people need to do this. This is literally what the world needs more of. Like, I don't agree with you.
I think a lot of people I teased that you were coming on here, and I think a lot of people are expecting a debate, and it's like, no. Wanted to sit down and just talk, discuss.
Yeah.
You got a debate?
Like, yeah, exactly. And like, you know, you guys are extremely intelligent. It's like, if you wanted to prove that I'm an idiot, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm an idiot. And I think you guys are like, we don't know everything.
I don't know about that. I talk about how dumb I am a lot. I've done some pretty stupid things on my videos. I busted a safe with protein bars in it so I couldn't get the protein bars out. Like, I don't just.
I remember that. That's funny.
Yeah. Stuff happens. Listen, life, you learn from your mistakes, and that's what's important. Anyway, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys so much. Anytime, and we got to get you out to San Diego on the Santa Cruz Nationals podcast, and we'll eat some steak together probably.
Sounds
all right.
I'll have some beans.
And some, yes.
Steaks and beans. All right. There we go.
Right on.
Let's do this.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, wasn't that a great time? Listen to the podcast. You were just, I'm assuming you knew, or you were just listening to in moderation. So if you go ahead and hit the 5-star button, is that a thing? The like button?
That's a thing.
No.
Yep.
The like button 5 on YouTube. Stars. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Not the dislike button. That's a bad button. the bad like button. Hit all the other buttons, the share, you can go check out
all those things.
Subscribe, go check out our Patreon. Yeah. We do have a Patreon. It's free to join if you want, or you could give us some money. That'd be really cool, like $1 or $2. It doesn't matter, whatever you have.
That's where you'll find all the news for this.
We're super appreciative. You can find all sorts of other stuff there. We do giveaways, I think, sometimes, all that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So peace.